This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Susannah Gilmore is a novelist living and writing from her home in Park Slope, Brooklyn, when the unthinkable happens. Her beloved husband, Charlie, is killed in a bicycle accident. After his death, Susannah and her two children moved to New Hampshire, to a house Susannah's mother lived in for years before she died. In her grief, Susannah discovers things about her mother's romantic life and her extramarital affairs that turn Susannah's understanding of her own life on its head. That is the premise of the new novel by Yona Zeldis McDonough. It's called The House on Primrose Pond, and McDonough joins me now to talk about her book. Welcome.
It's so nice of you to have me, Peter.
This book strikes me as primarily a book about grief. It's got a lot going on, but there's also a lot of grief in here. And I just want to say there are many beautifully rendered moments here where Susannah is trying to move forward with her life in this new place, in this fictional town of Eastwood, New Hampshire. But she's also pulled back by memories of her dead husband, Charlie. And I was hoping you could talk a little bit about those moments and how you saw them fitting into the book.
Well, I don't think it's possible to write a widow who doesn't think of the man that's died. You know, she's going to think of him. And this is a fairly fresh wound for her. It's just a little over a year since her husband died, and she's picking up her life and moving it somewhere else. So he's going to come back again from time to time. What seems to me my own experience in life is that trying to deal with grief is not like a straight line where you begin in one place and you move away from it, like in a distance. It's more like a spiral. So it comes back around again. You know, you do eventually move past it, but every now and then something will just take you, you know, unawares, and you'll be right back in it as fresh as it was the day it happened. And I think she has to contend with that.
Mm-hmm. There's one moment where she is ice skating, mm-hmm. and she's with a man she's interested in, and she's also with her children. One of her children.
Yes, the other one won't go.
Yeah, she is being difficult for her own grieving reasons. Right. And she's on this pond and she's ice skating and she's having a beautiful moment. And then it spirals, like you said, it just hits her. And it struck me as entirely believable, even though, you know, I'm not a widow or a widower, but I was there with her. I could feel it as she was feeling it.
Oh, that's nice. I'm glad that it affected you in that way. That's my experience of, you know, grief about anything is that, you know, it's going to come back. It is just going to come back.
Susannah also finds that she has to reconfigure how she understands herself when she starts learning things about her mother's past and about her father as well. And that seems to, I don't want to give away any spoilers here because it is a great mystery in a way, this book, trying to figure out this past. But it does complicate the grieving picture that she also has to reconfigure how she feels about her own life.
Absolutely. In a way, it kind of mucks it up because, you know, she can't just focus on her husband and the life that they had together. But now she's thinking about her parents and, you know, having to reevaluate what their marriage was like and things that she observed while they were alive that are now seen in a new light, perhaps. And she has to see herself in a new way vis-a-vis what she learns about them.
And we shouldn't say that this is an autobiographical novel. Your husband is still very much alive.
Yes, he is.
Okay.
I'm glad to say. But he doesn't wear his bicycle helmet. I hope you're listening, darling. We discuss this. This is a frequent refrain in our house. But, you know, people ask that about autobiography and novels, and I like to say it's all true and none of it is true because I wrote it, so it's got to come from me somewhere and something in my experience. It's just not a literal, you know, like a kind of matching where, oh, yes, this happened to me and therefore I'm going to write about it in this way. It comes out in a more indirect way, you know, in a surprising way. But something you felt or something that's happened to you will have its own way of coming out in your novel.
While Susannah, your protagonist, is in New Hampshire, I should mention she's also a historical novelist and she's hunting for a new subject. And she learns about a woman named Ruth Blay, who was alive in the 18th century. Tell us a little bit about Ruth.
Okay. Ruth was a fascinating discovery for me because I didn't know anything about her when I started this project. I decided to set the book in New Hampshire. My other books have been set in New York, and I was a little tired of that. And I picked New Hampshire because of my husband and my association with the place, and I have a lot of feeling for it.
Your husband was from Portsmouth.
Yes, is from Portsmouth and a real Portsmouth boy and has lots of family there. And, you know, there's just a lot of connection. And we've been coming up to New Hampshire to this place my sister-in-law found for us on Jenice Pond for about 20 years. So, you know, I felt like I could write about the place. But I wanted something else to kind of animate this story or to fill this story out. I had the characters. I had the place. So I typed into Google, New Hampshire tragedy. And I came up with a book called Hanging Ruth Blay, an 18th Century New Hampshire Tragedy. And I thought, what is this? And I started reading about it and I ordered it. And then once I'd read it, I decided that I was absolutely going to use this material. What I will say of it is this. Ruth Blay is a young woman who lived in Portsmouth with her mother. She was a seamstress and a teacher. And as her family dispersed, she and her mother were left just to themselves. And she found herself pregnant and without a husband in early 1768. And this was a problem. So she went up to Salisbury to have this baby by herself, which is something that I thought about a lot, both as a woman who's had babies and as a novelist, like, how is that going to work, having a baby by yourself in a place that you didn't know anyone and no one to help you and no one to soothe you and no one to comfort you as you were going through this? And this baby died. She was accused of murdering the baby. And that was not actually proved, but what she was convicted of and hanged for was concealing the birth of an illegitimate child. And she was, so this all kind of unfolded in June of 1768. She was brought back to Portsmouth and put in jail for the summer. There was a trial in September, found guilty very quickly. There were two reprieves, but the governor at the time, Governor Wentworth, whose name you see a lot in this area, finally decided to go forth with this execution, and she was hanged in South Cemetery in Portsmouth on December 31st, 1768.
We can't give away too much about this because, I mean, the story that Susanna recounts as she's writing it dovetails nicely with the actual story, the thing that Susanna is living through, but we can't give it away because it's a spoiler. But I did want to ask, this was one of the things that gave this book a nice New Hampshire feel. What was it like? I mean, your previous books were set in New York, an urban setting, and then this book, very rural setting. What was it like making that transition?
I loved it. I was really happy to get out of Brooklyn for a little while. I really sort of was reconnected with how much I feel for this place, which I kind of know inchoately, but writing it made it very vivid to me that I really feel a lot of connection to the state and this house. I like to tell my children, my ashes are to be scattered on Jenis Pond when that time has come. So I feel a lot for this place. And so I really liked writing about it and, you know, getting to externalize that.
Yona, thank you very much for coming in and speaking about your book.
Thank you for having me.
That's Yona Zeldis McDonough. She is the author of the new novel, The House on Primrose Pond. And you can find a list of the top 5 books on Yona's bookshelf at nhpr.org. We are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you. If you've got something you think other NHPR listeners would enjoy, you can send the recommendation our way. You can do it by email, books@nhpr.org. You can also find us on Twitter, @nhprbookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.